The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. We have been taken out by COVID over here.
I mean,
Danny's
not
okay.
To be a trendsetter, I had it in December. Well, I mean, I guess now I can get it again. But Yesara and Jorge, you guys are down for the count.
So apologies in advance for my voice. In my own ears, I'm like, ooh, it's a little sultry, but I'm sure I sound just nasally as fuck.
I mean, it is the freaky thing. I feel like now it's back to literally March 2020 recordings where I'm like, I've been hearing a lot of people getting it again. And I'm like, I'm beat down.
I am not getting
I wear my mask
again.
When I go to CVS.
Yeah. Like, I cannot be down for another week. Like, I'm not doing this again. It's one time only deal.
You got the one with the no taste and no smell.
You know what? It's kind of fun. Like, it's weird. It's weird. Part of my brain, it's like everything is like a taste test. But it does take some of the joy out of eating. But soup really hits.
And that's the only joy in life is eating. And that's what...
Yeah.
I don't because one of my friends who it's like they were like everything tastes metal and I'm like,
ew.
That would be my hell and I'd be the one person to like gain weight eating metal because I'd be like I'm not gonna stop like I can't change my snacking habits just because I can't taste it. I don't do it to taste. Yeah,
no, actually that's been my biggest struggle because literally I'm constantly grabbing snacks throughout the day, but like if I can't even taste it, I reach and then I'm like, well, what's the point? So But it's funny because yesterday I was like, ooh, I could try black coffee now. And I took a sip of it and I was like, nope, it was like just pure acidity. So even still, I'm too much of a baby.
And I wonder if like the acidity of it heightens even more with like your situation.
I think so. It's interesting.
Can you smell?
But, a little bit. I can taste and smell like a tiny bit. I was saying it's kind of like...
Okay.
If everything I was eating was made by LaCroix, where it's like a whisper of banana and like a hint of peanut butter or whatever it is.
So I mean, because it like now I'm afraid to get it again because like my main joy in life is like eating Pad See Ew and smelling candles I buy. And if I lose those two, I'm like, I'm down for the count. I don't know what to do. And now it's getting so nice out that I feel everyone's going to be, it's like... People, it's going to be, it's spring break in the city, in the sense
it's
of like
so
everyone's
true.
Just going to be out and about. So I guess all we can say is be as safe as we've been the last week. I don't even
know. Stay safe out there.
Who knows?
Stay safe for murderers and COVID.
Yes. And some shady cryptocurrency if that happens.
Yes. Wait, but first I want to say, you know what else is giving us 2020 vibes?
Oh my God, what? Oh, wait.
We are doing another live show at Union Hall.
Yes!
It's finally happening.
Sarah will be cured by that.
Oh my God, it's in June, June 5th.
Yes.
It's at 5 p.m. It's a Sunday, so we can still do Pinot Grigio shots and hopefully be functional the next day. But I'm so excited.
I'm so pumped. I know we've been waiting because like we weren't going to... Like 2021, I was like, 2021, we couldn't. 2021, and then... 2022 got the best of us, but we're so excited to have it finally back at Union Hall. And I love a 5 p.m. on a Sunday because it's nice. Like, we can have our fun, but then, like, home by 9 to watch an episode of SVU and, like, be in bed for Monday. Like, that's my
100%.
Dream.
So, guys, please buy tickets. Come support us. Don't wait. Last time the show sold out, we had people from Texas. You guys were the best. You were flying in all over. So get your tickets at... Betches.co/NATC live.
Ooh, we love a custom. Yes. So buy them because we also want to start. We want to, now that, you know, like live shows are back, we want to start making them more a routine thing. And the best way that makes Union Hall say, you know who was fun? Danny and Sarah. Is if we sell this bitch out and it's like the time of our lives. And we're already prepping it, even though it's a little bit away. And we just can't wait.
I'm so excited. So we'll see you there. Can't wait for that. And other than that, I feel like we could just get into this ep.
We can get... Well, I guess we should... I mean, the one little update, because I think we did this episode in 2020. We have to do the full update that... Didn't Shari Papini gave us a little update?
Oh my God,
didn't she
yes.
plead guilty?
She, yes. Someone did DM us on Not Another True Crime on Instagram. She's pleading guilty. She's like, the jig is up. You guys got me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. She faked her kidnapping.
Yeah, she said it was all a hoax. She's getting a plea deal. Because,
I mean,
there's
sounds
that.
About then, white. Ah!
Yeah, no, exactly. She's like, oh, I spent all your guys' money and like made like a targeted minority group that like I said kidnapped me. Sorry. And
that was so nuts. So what's sentence going to be, do you think? Or did they say?
I mean, I don't even let's see. Oh, she has to pay more than $300,000 in restitution to the agencies that investigated the hoax and provided her victim compensation as part of a plea agreement.
But is she doing any time?
I don't think so.
I mean, dang. All right.
Yeah,
well,
so yeah. So that. I mean, so the government has agreed to recommend that she get sentenced to the low end of the sentencing guideline, which was a maximum of 5 years in prison and everything like that. So that's going to be determined by the court. So maybe Maybe I could see her like with 6 months. Maybe who knows.
Yeah, maybe she'll get like a little Felicity Huffman special.
28 days? Yeah. Oh my God. But talk about a girl who was good in and out. And then we had Lori Loughlin, who I also have forgotten about. They really lucked out. Those are probably the people that are like, oh my God, thank God for COVID. Because now I'm like, what?
Oh my God. I'm her like, and them and
I thought
Ilaria,
about USC.
Except, yes. Except we still talk about Ilaria. But I feel like that was also a little bit before COVID, right? Or was that during it?
That was during when we were clinging to anything because it was December 2020.
What? That was right before the insurrection, so never mind. But she yes, had a little distraction.
She got a little distraction. And it was the insurrection and also Armie Hammer being a cannibal, which... Talk about perks of being born rich.
Oh, God.
You forget you're a cannibal.
Facts.
He's going to be like Jimmy Savile. It's going to be like when he's dead. Like, people are going to be like, no, yeah, he did eat people. And we're like, great, that helps now.
But like first an hour and a half montage of like how hot he is and how like good of, and how famous he was or whatever, like that documentary.
Literally. I think we are going to cover that in a later episode, guys. So if you haven't watched the Jimmy Savile on Netflix, check it out and let us know if you want us to cover it, because if you guys
but
all
also
hate
trigger
it,
we'll... warning, like child sex abuse. So it's very disturbing. Yeah.
Kind of is, yeah, it's a roof one, and it comes out of nowhere because the first hour, like you said, it's just like everyone just like, oh my God, he was great. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's nuts.
I was like, am I watching the wrong doc?
Truly.
But we did watch another doc that really loved this doc because it kept us on our toes, and it was an hour and 20 minutes long, I think. So it came in clutch. It was Crypto King.
Yes, quick and easy. It was what is it, Trust No One, The Hunt for the Crypto King on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah,
which I said they should call Fear No Man, Trust No Crypt. But I'm not at the documentary department of Netflix. So here we are.
Not yet. Anyway,
a dream.
That is so funny. So it's about this crypto king, I suppose, by the name of Jerry Cotton. And honestly, that is just like sounds like a fake name to me. I don't know why.
It really, yeah. I mean, Jerry, I've never met a Jerry with a G who's real, I don't think. I guess a Gerald.
Think that I have.
But have I met a Gerald?
A Jerry? Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Was he real?
Not since Hey Arnold. I actually do know Gerald, but we don't talk about him, just like Bruno.
We don't talk about Gerald. That's
precisely.
Not Another True Crime is making a musical.
Precisely. So our man Gerald Cotton went by Jerry, and Jerry grew up in Belleville, which is a waterfront community between Toronto and Montreal that was called the Friendly City. And I just have to say,
already obsessed.
I mean, I'm already obsessed, but I'm like that. You must be the friendliest of the friendly if you are in Canada and you're being like called out for your friendliness.
That's true. Like, we don't have a friendliest city in Jersey.
I don't think we have it in the U.S. Yeah. We're just like, here's this place where you might not get cursed at on the street.
You know what? I would say New Hope in Pennsylvania is probably the friendliest city.
I could see that.
And that's a small
Amish
town
country.
On a walk. Yeah. Friendly so for some. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, Canada's winning over here.
So Jerry's parents owned an antique store. Also, he had Crohn's disease, which is like an autoimmune disease, right? That will be relevant later.
Yeah.
So Jerry graduated with a bachelor's from York University's School of Business in Toronto in 2010. I couldn't pronounce the name of the person the school is named after, so I'm just going to bloop right over it. Maybe Skulik, but who the fuck knows? So anyway, after graduating, Jerry moved from Vancouver and became involved in this local meetup of like Bitcoin and crypto enthusiasts because like Bitcoin actually started a while ago. Like it started well before that whole boom in like 2016. It has been around.
The sign of how I'm always late to every trend. I had no clue. I thought it just came around very recently, but people were doing like spoken word poems about it in coffee shops in Canada. They were just like Bitcoin. You know what's so sad? After this doc, even I'm still like, what's going on?
Yeah, no. So soon Jerry realized that if you wanted to trade Bitcoin in Canada, it was like a pain in the ass and you would incur a lot of transaction fees. And that's because most of the Bitcoin was traded through this Japanese platform called GotX. But Canadian banks didn't really want anything to do with Bitcoin. So you had to go through like a bunch of intermediaries and like all of those would take a cut. And like it just became a pain in the ass.
That confused, I guess, because the banks are international. Because I was like, do you have to pay a transaction rate for like digital money? I didn't really get that. Oh, but then I also don't really understand how like I have to pay a fee when I go to a ATM that's not my bank's ATM, so I don't know a lot about finance.
I was gonna say, I mean, I still don't get how Venmo doesn't take a cut of anything. I think one day they're gonna just spring it on us and we're all gonna be like, well, there's no better way to pay my friend for dinner, so fine.
Wait, oh, you're right. Hey, well, it does that thing now. If you want your money ASAP, it charges you, which I'm like, no, take your time.
I'm like, yeah, I don't care, I don't need this right away. You know, my $12 for drinks. Hold on to that Venmo. So November 13, Jerry and his business partner, a guy named Michael Patron, created Quadriga. They pronounce it both ways, Quadriga and Quadriga. So whatever you want, CX.
Take your Quadriga pick. It's Delta or Omicron. Take your pick. You got
a Bitcoin trading platform. And also, I have to say, like, I don't know why these trading platforms don't have catchier names. Like Quadriga sounds like a freaking medicine that you would see for
that's
an infomercial.
It should have been called like take a bit, you know what I mean, like a bite of your bit. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh my god, I love it. Take
if
a bit.
Anybody if I mean, anybody even, who's like, rich wants to help me, yeah, let's do that.
We just gotta hook up with someone and like not hook up but link up with somebody who can create a trading platform.
Wait, but you said you use hookup the way like adults say hookup.
I know, I'm a boomer.
I mean, I have actively an icy hot strip on my back, so I'm right there with you.
Oh my gosh. So in the fall of 2014, Jerry met a woman named Jennifer Robertson on Tinder, and like shouts out to a Tinder couple.
The OG date, I mean, not the OG, the OG app dating.
Yes. Pretty crazy. And then they later got married. And then also in this time, in February 2014, GotX, which was that Japanese trading platform, which this should have been a little bit of foreshadowing. But so they had $473 million stolen by hackers. So they stopped operating.
Oops. That's a lot. That's a lot of money to get stolen.
It's a lot. And then year later, Canada's biggest exchange also got hacked and had to shut down. And the second largest exchange closed that same week. So basically, Quadriga was it. Like, if you wanted to trade Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin, whatever, sell it, like, and you were in Canada, you had to go here. So
it's like how all like local places shut down, and you only got Starbucks. I thought you drink Starbucks, but yeah.
Yeah, so at this point, they were doing really well, but it wasn't without their issues. So at first, they raised almost $850,000 in capital, but Jerry backed out on the deal after he got into a dispute with one of the big investors. And then the entire board resigned, so just Jerry was the only employee.
And just then, Jerry.
Just Jerry. And it's like when if Ben and Jerry's ever splits, you get just Jerry.
Oh my God, that would scare me.
It would scare me.
God. I wonder who's better at making ice cream. I'll Google that later.
And then also a software glitch cost Quadriga $14 million. And then Jerry got in trouble with the British Columbia Securities Commission after he failed to submit an audit. And they got 21.
What are all these words?
I don't know. And they got $21 million seized because of a bank issue.
But that's how much money we are talking with this. It's like $21 million, and they're like, oh, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it was the major.
Yeah. Platform. Oops, a bank fuck up. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they still processed billions of dollars in trades and took a cut of each one, which is how, like, they made money, and about 76,000 people had a Quadriga account. And then just some little facts about Jerry. Vanity Fair wrote that he always seemed to be smiling, which made him seem lighthearted and put strangers at ease. However, he did always seem to have acquaintances rather than close friends, and I do not trust a bitch who does not have close friends.
The people that are in 500 one-off chats but never in the chat. Yeah.
Exactly. Or I feel like there's always that person who is constantly they get a friend, they get really close with them, and then they have a falling out, and then they move on to the next friend, and it's don't trust that person.
Manipulating soul suckers. We've all dealt with them. I'm for therapy, if you have that person in your life right now, pause the episode for a second, shout, fuck you, that name, and then resume the episode. This is talk space.
I love that, no matter where you are.
No matter where you are, if you are in your office, shout that loud and proud and be like, this is what you guys wanted with the hybrid system. I'm working from home and working here, and sometimes I have to shout expletives to former friends.
Also, Jerry was ballin'. They had not just a second home, but a third home in wine country, wherever that is in Canada. And they also casually owned a small island, I read, in Vanity Fair. So, yeah.
Living life. I do want to say, and I'm basing this only off of the one season of The Bachelor I really did watch, and there was the Canadian girl, Jillian Harris, and she lives on the west side of Canada, and she loves Canadian wine. So maybe it's on the west, maybe it's near Vancouver.
I love
Anyone
that.
From Canada,
I'm
probably
down.
Be like, we have,
take a trip.
I would love to be in Canada. Oh my God.
Yes.
We're just there. We're like, no, she has COVID, but she can kind of taste. We can go in. They're like, get the fuck out.
Maybe that's how I'll finally get into red wine, is just in COVID, where I'm like, well, I can't taste it. So
can't taste. There we go. Red wine and black coffee. Here you are. A whole there new girl.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
So the first shock of the documentary and also of this story that we're investigating, it happened when Jerry and Jen, Miss Tinder, went to India on their honeymoon in December of 2018. Very chic. If I had a small island, I would honeymoon there, but I guess that's kind of them going to the classic restaurant, you know what I mean? Let's go somewhere different. Yeah,
they're bored of the island.
Right? They're like, oh my God, that old thing? No. So 9 days into the honeymoon, though, Jerry got sick and was driven to a private hospital and diagnosed with acute gastroenteritis.
Gastroenteritis.
My brother's a doctor, not me. These are big ones. But what I do know is that he went into septic shock and had a heart attack. So he was revived, and then his heart stopped again. And then he was confirmed dead a little more than 24 hours. His stomach system started. So really kind of rapid deterioration. Dramatic, yeah, very, very intense. The official death that they listed on the death report was, quote unquote, complications from Crohn's disease. No autopsy was requested. There was also a little weirdness. Yeah, I'm like, why would they not just do that? And then there was also like a little weirdness that was going on following the death. Jerry's body was sent back to his hotel that they were staying at. And then he was sent out to be embalmed. But the embalmer wouldn't take a body from a hotel. So then they sent it to a medical college and had a staffer do the embalming. It literally, like, it sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm skit. Almost in a dark way, where it's
truly
like they're just passing this body everywhere, where I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
That's so true. Although I will say, body mishaps can happen anywhere. Like, I know people who've just had to deal with like crazy things.
Oh, but God, and but like, still, the worst time you want to deal with any of that. Yeah,
I mean, 100%.
Also, because this all comes in because a lot of course, where does a lot of Bitcoin chat start? Or not start, but the Reddit threads love a Bitcoin.
I was going to say Reddit.
Reddit loves a BC, and I'm not talking before Common Era. They love a Bitcoin. And then so people were finding all these details and kind of really diving in on it. And I would say I love how the documentary like did all the breakdowns with that. Jerry's name was misspelled on the death certificate. And the former chairman and managing director of the company that ran the hospital was convicted of financial fraud 2 months before. So the hospital had some
shady... That's
not a
great sign for your hospital. Like, I'm going to say that much.
Not a good sign. Jerry also wrote his will 4 days before his trip to India and had no provisions for all the quote-unquote cold wallets, which are like the hard drives that held all of the cyber money and everything like that.
The cyber money. I love it. We're not financial experts.
Oh, God, no. I just did my taxes. I was like, I hope. They're somewhere. The mail is sent. Here's hoping. We'll see. This is, and by the, just to comfort everybody, I sent the taxes I had to do. They're already done because I know when this comes out, that's the last stage of taxes. I'm all good. But thank you. This is extremely unusual, though, not having provision set for the cold wallets because it's unheard of in the Bitcoin world, the BCW, to not have any sort of a backup plan. Because if you're talking, much money on these things, hard drives to hard drives to cold drive, I don't even know.
Like, you can't have one guy hold the keys to the castle.
No,
like, I don't care what industry you're in. Like, that, I mean, it's good job security, but that is not a good plan.
No, yeah. So with Bitcoin, you can't just like reset the password to your wallet. So if
right,
you lose,
that's like the whole thing
the password,
about it.
The money is gone. Like, it's not like you're like, the only thing I compare it to is like, if it's like, if you have a $5 bill and then you burn it, like that $5 bill is gone. If you lose the password, it is gone. Is burning money an offense? I don't even know. I'm not going to do it, but.
No, you can burn a flag. No. I don't see why you can't burn money.
I thought you can't burn a flag.
No, you can. It's protected. Oh, okay. Speech.
Oh, all right. Plans tonight. No.
All right, Plessy v. Ferguson. No, I'm pretty sure that's the wrong case.
You know, we're here.
It's not it, but it is a famous Supreme Court case that I learned about in middle school. So there we go.
Oh, okay. Well, Jersey, step the fuck up. So Jerry, though, was the only person with access to all of the money and ran the whole company from his fucking laptop. Boy, didn't even have a desktop.
That is also the all these millions wildest upon part. Like, just like some rinky dink. I mean, I'm sure he, you know, modified it by himself and whatever, but just a laptop? This man is on the Starbucks public Wi-Fi? Like,
boop, 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 boop. Yeah, just truly, people can like peek over the shoulder. He claimed there was a quote-unquote dead man switch and certain family members would get his info if something happened to him, but that never materialized following his death.
Yeah, there was no dead man switch.
No, his death was announced on the company's Facebook page a month later, and in that time, the company was still accepting money but refused to give out any. So they were just like piling it all in and
that is never a good sign. They're like, oh, we'll take your money, but no, you're never getting it back. Like, you can't get it right now.
Oh, that's the gag. You're just like,
yeah, that is not a good sign. So back to this guy, Michael Patron. So once again, I'm getting Anna Delvey vibes. As you'll remember, Michael Patron was Jerry's business partner. So People who knew Michael said that he would tell different stories about his origin. Like, he would say he was from Italy, India, Pakistan.
Patron, London, Paris, maybe Tokyo, as Hilary Duff would say.
Facts. Facts. I also love that he's just kind of playing on, like, white people's ignorance of ethnicity. He's like, yeah, I could be Mediterranean or also from India.
No. Like,
you're like, here's a tan, like a slightly tan guy. So he's milking it. But he denied this to Vanity Fair, saying, I'm not nationalistic. Which is like, okay, dude, that's not the question. The question is, where are you from? Like,
ASL, age, sex, location.
Facts. And he was also described as ostentatiously secretive, and he would make references to, get ready, a shady past and, quote, underworld connections. Oh my God, Anthony Strange's energy.
I was literally thinking that, where he's like, no, I know how to make dogs live forever. And, yeah. Well, not, this isn't dog coin, but what's that, Dogecoin or something
Dogecoin,
like that?
That's
given that too.
Oh my God. I feel like I know enough about the scammer playbook that I could become a scammer, but I don't have the confidence. So you guys were lucky.
Oh, I don't have the confidence. I would want to make a Doja coin though. And I'm like, no, you have money to buy Doja Cat merch. She should. She also is internet-y enough to make something like that happen.
100%.
God, all these ideas. Yeah. I'll DM her. She won't
read
it.
We have great ideas. So Michael also said that he was an advisor to Quadrigo, which was not true. He was like the co-founder. He was on the documents for like the original domain that was registered for Quadrigo. So also, in fact, he and Jerry knew each other since 2003. And this is where it gets really interesting. And this is why I loved this documentary, because I feel like it was just twist after twist. But so they actually met on a website for Ponzi schemes.
So, you know, bonding.
You know, some legitimate business opportunities. And if you guys don't know, but I feel like you all know, but a Ponzi scheme is basically like someone, you solicit investors and you promise them like some absurd return, like you're going to get three times your money. And then you collect people's money and you pay out returns from recruiting new people to the scheme. And then eventually you just like cash out and disappear with the money. So...
Boom. You know, so if anyone's looking, if there's any seniors in college looking for, you know, a career.
Oh my
no,
God.
I'm kidding.
It's like, stay away from vector marketing. That's like more MLM.
Do not knock on my door selling me knives. The gag is, I did that once for a friend. The knives were good, but like.
I've heard the knives are good, but I mean, I just, you can't pay me enough to go.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. No, and I bought it before I knew that they what they were, but yeah.
That's fair. So, Jerry became a member of this Ponzi scheme site when he was just 15. Like, oh my God.
Damn.
And he and Michael would
Taylor regularly, Swift.
Yeah. He and Michael would post regularly, and this is so funny. It's like they even tried to scam each other. And yeah, I'm like, oh, scammer love story.
Cute. It's like when Harry met Sally. Oh no, yes. You've got mail. You've got scam. Yeah.
Yeah. And Patron was 21 at the time. Jerry was 15. And Jerry launched his first Ponzi scheme, which was called SNS Investments, before he turned 16. So honestly, Billy McFarland could never. Like, Billy McFarland wishes.
Honestly, I didn't know what a Ponzi scheme was when I was 16, so he really is ahead of the game. I would be like, the Fonzi from Happy Days?
Oh my God.
With my icy hot on, I'm literally 65.
Oh my God. So this is how Jerry described the company. I'm afraid I'm not going to fill this section of the page with the usual bump, B-U-M-P-H, about how your returns are made. We do not invest in stocks, bonds, shares, precious metals, or antiques. All I will say is we will generate your return and that we are not what is called a Ponzi or pyramid scheme. So this guy is like, yeah, I'm not going to invest your money in any of the things that you would think, but I swear I'm not a pyramid scheme and I'm not going to give you any information, but give me your money.
That's my favorite. It's like, oh my God, guys, no, we're not like that. I'm like, no, but then that makes me think you are. It's not like someone's like, oh my God, I'm not going to scam you. I'm like, oh, good.
I mean, he's literally out here saying that they're not investing in stocks, bonds, like anything like that. And what's there's nothing else left, I feel like, except pyramid schemes. Because at this point, like, crypto didn't exist, so...
No! I don't even... Yeah, in 2000... Yeah.
I'm like, what is left to invest in? Like...
I'm like, also, so, what was... How intense was the internet then? I'm like, how did you even get things sent? I guess you
I know. Yeah. I was still trying to code my MySpace in this era, I think.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, because MySpace was like 05 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 months later, okay. Jared cashed out with his client's money.
So damn, a 16-year-old.
Yeah, casual. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're literally investing in a guy who's saying, this is not a pyramid scheme, I'm going to give you like multiple times your return by not investing in stocks or bonds or precious metals, like, this is on you a little bit.
Yeah, and also I'm like, okay, he probably, in the end, he probably almost was like telling the truth because he's like, I'm helping you make money because now you will never, ever, ever give your money away again. So in the facts. Long run.
Jerry's like, but I taught you a valuable lesson.
The more you know.
My gosh. So Michael Patron's real name was Omar Danani, and he was previously arrested by the U.S. Secret Service for participating in an online marketplace for stolen credit card information and forged documents.
Okay.
Not a good time.
The classic scams, just, you know, credit cards, IRL right. things, tangible things.
I know, just low-key. He was sentenced to 18 months in federal prison and was deported to Canada in 2007. And that's where he changed his name to Omar Patron and later Michael Patron. I've, like, all right, respect.
The artist formerly known as Omar, yeah.
Yeah, but Patron said of the name change to Vanity Fair, quote, many who were born without white privilege, including nearly every Chinese person I've met in Vancouver, has anglicized their name. I was one of five non-whites working in capital markets in Vancouver. Mm. Okay. I feel like Chinese people are reading this like, why are you bringing our, like, keep our names out of your mouth? Like, what are you talking like, about?
Why did you include us into that?
Like, convenient. Also, I've never met anyone with the last name Patron, P-A-T-R-Y-N. Whatever that
I is. No, I just it's making me think of Peyton, but that's not really anything. Yeah, well, that's Peyton Manning, so, but that's a first name. So then in 2008, he started this business called Midas Gold, which
that is not
kind of, if you know the story of
it's not a good
Midas because it's the Midas touch.
Yeah.
So that's not really, you know, it's yeah.
The only Midas I trust is like that car repair company. I don't even know if I trust them.
Yeah. Actually. And I trust them because I don't have a car. So do whatever you got to do.
Facts. It doesn't affect me.
I can't fight everybody. No, I don't know. If you have a Toyota with caution, with Midas, I guess, I don't know. So, which processed payments for Liberty Reserve, all these company names, a company that was used by drug cartels, human traffickers, and child pornographers to launder money.
No.
So, really, really reserving Liberty, with like its name says.
Oh, my God.
In its registration documents, one of the contacts info used is gerald.cotton@gmail.com.
No.
Hmm.
I'm also like, these guys aren't using a burner account to do their illegal money laundering schemes.
Also, not even like soccer chick 2000. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, it's literally like, first name dot last name. Here I am for the crime at gmail.com.
But I feel that was like the thing of like even back then in 2008 and stuff like that. People were like, oh, no one's going to find me from my email address. Like, what? And you're like, it is your full name.
Oh, my God.
In May 2013, Liberty Reserve was shut down by the feds, unsurprisingly. And it was the largest online money laundering case in U.S. history. To that
wow. Point. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. So then in October 2013, Jerry posted on a site that marketed frauds and stolen goods that he was looking for, quote unquote, a programmer who was familiar with Bitcoin to develop a website that would serve as an open marketplace, like a stock market, where people buy and sell Bitcoin. So Quadriga CX went live less than 3 months later. So he found all the scams aligned.
His person. His programmer.
A shoe that clicks to his clack. Shout out to my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh my God. I thought you just made that expression up.
No. Oh, where is a shoe that clicks to my clack? Oh my God. I'm going to YouTube that later.
What movie is it?
So no, A Christmas Story. No, A Christmas Carol. Because it's the one with like future, past, present, future. It's like Mr. And it's the animated one, and it's so good. Oh my god.
Got it.
And it's with Tiny Tim with a Wazzle Belly dressing. Like,
wow, it's a classic. Okay.
So good. So good. I mean, so no, anybody's feeling Christmas in April, cue that up. So yeah, so the site went live 3 months later, and no later than 2015. Here's the scam on top of the scam, on top of the fraud, on top of the twist, on top of the everything. This is when also
with the cherry on top.
I don't know why. I didn't expect the crypto on top. I didn't expect this to happen when it happened in the doc, and I don't know why. I probably should have assumed it. Jerry started stealing clients' funds and created fake accounts to make it look like there was more trading going on than there was. So he would just be like, okay, money, I'll take it, I'll take it, I'll take it, I'll take it. Not really moving anybody's money around anywhere. And he filled those accounts with counterfeit Bitcoin.
I don't get it. How? I'm sorry, but like, to me, Bitcoin is like fake money. So how do you fake money? Like, how?
I wonder if you...
Isn't it all...
Do you just LimeWire BB Rexa songs? Like, I don't know what goes in there. Could you imagine you open up your account, what's supposed to be like $2 million, and it's just like BB Rexa.
Right.
Just like all of her albums.
And like, listen, I know that there's a blockchain and all these servers, but I'm like, I don't know. Can't you just go into the code and like type some other lines of code to make it look like there's more... Like, Fake money.
Think my thing, like, if someone told me, oh my god, just go into the code and check your money, I'm like, what?
That's fair.
But I guess if you're like in this business, you should kind of know that better. But he also rarely filed a personal tax return, and when he did, he claimed he earned no money from his company, which is, that's, I will say, that's just, I feel like, what every rich person does who has a company. So like,
I mean, yeah, like that is the ultimate scam, or taxes.
That's the ultimate scam. I'm like, why I owe money? I'm like, I have student, and I, like, cause I was like, I have student loans. Why do I have to pay taxes? They're like, that doesn't count. And I'm like, what?
That's so rude. Oh, that's so rude.
I mean, cause I did my taxes wrong, but that's fine.
No.
Rather pay than get arrested. He would give customers who complained the most, like, of their withdrawal, sometimes in cash. So basically, he would just,
there
would
be people. Fire festival energy.
Because I guess, like, even though a lot, and even like the one guy in the documentary who I felt bad for, like, a lot of people, like, put their life into this. A lot of people who are super rich, this is just one of their many accounts, I'm sure. So, like, they weren't complaining and checking in. But the people who are like, where's my money? He would just try to give them as much as they can withdrawing, hand them cash, and be like, okay, that'll cool them off for a little bit.
Yeah. I read in Vanity Fair that, like, it was literally giving, like, fire media payroll vibes, where he would just be giving people like paper bags of cash, like if they fucking complained.
Yeah, which is so, I'm like, you wouldn't be like, the writing's on the wall here. And he also had bad vegan energy of our guy, because didn't he gambled so much of the money? That's what he was doing.
They did mention that in the doc. I'm just like, bro, put it under your mattress, like, you'll have a better return. You could light some of it on fire and I think still have a better return than if you're fucking gambling.
Literally. So after his death, Jerry should have had more, like, about $200 million in the cold wallets, but didn't. He transferred it to personal accounts and emptied some of those accounts. So basically, so many people just never got their cash. And it kind of remains, people are, the open-endedness of it is that people were like, did he really die?
Yes.
Did his new wife have anything to do with it? Did third parties have anything to do with it? Sarah, what was your thought on it all?
Okay, I have a lot of thoughts. I could see him still being alive. I don't think that he got a bunch of plastic surgery. That's a little absurd. He's like a generic looking white guy. Like, I don't think that he needs to blend in. I don't know. I could see him being I could see him being alive and it all being an exit scheme, because I think even if he didn't die, like, that was his plan all along.
That's true.
Like, he was definitely going to cash out and run away with all the money at some point. I guess the question is, like, did karma actually get him and did he really die? I don't know.
Ooh. I'm curious if, like, someone, because it's one of those things where it is just like, no, this guy couldn't just be this simple. I'm like, someone had to have, like, poisoned him, and it's hard because there's no autopsy. But they even confirm, like, that was the body, everything like that, where they said they confirm everything.
It might just be an open shot. But like this journalist like just went to India and spoke to this doctor. And I'm like, as someone who's had friends pose for references for jobs before, like I'm not super convinced. Like I'm sure the journalist did his due diligence and everything, but I'm like, I'm not convinced by one doctor. And what I really didn't like was like, and I think a lot of true crime documentaries have been doing this where they sort of like, they flip the blame onto like the sort of true crime community or just like spectators.
Yeah.
Where like at the end they kind of go, they blame like internet sleuth and they say like, well, you know, if they exhumed his body, some people would say that they got a body double. And if we tested his DNA, people would say that we paid off the DNA tester. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But there's also plenty of people who would be convinced by you doing like something more than like talking to one guy. Like, I just.
No, exactly. And also, I'm like, okay, this one journalist, I'm like,
let's check his direct deposits later.
I mean, I'm also like, you don't get to spend like a whole like hour or half an hour making this death seem suspicious and bringing up all the ways in which it is suspicious and then turning it back on people and being like, oh no, well, you guys are the conspiracy theorists and it's like, and nothing that we do would convince you. Like, well, you just like took all this time bringing up all and these also, conspiracy theories. What the hell?
That's the thing. It's like, who do you think is watching this doc?
Yeah.
You're making a doc for the internet sleuths and everything like that for people to be interested and start a conversation about it. So know your audience, know thy audience, and give thy audience what they want. No, that was annoying.
That annoys me. And they do that in the Jimmy Savile documentary too, where they're like, they blame the public making him into like the figure that he was. And it's just like, well,
but no one knew.
Yeah, it's like, again, well, the police weren't doing their jobs correctly to encourage the victims to come forward. The journalists were, like, not probing hard enough. And so, but it's the public's fault? Like,
it's like, you're like, it's the nature of celebrity where people are like, you don't know what no one knows him besides the people that could investigate him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you'd asked me even, like, a week before the Armie Hammer allegations, if I thought he was a cannibal, I would say, like, anyone could have known that. Even, like, the most online, maybe the most online of people, but I think, like, any member of the general public would never think that in a million years. So, like, to turn around and blame the public for not knowing what they don't know, that really bothered me. But whatever.
It's kind of like, okay, well, we only know him as a celeb. Like, no, exactly. So,
I don't know.
The moral of the story is everybody listening to this podcast, and me and Sarah, are perfect and flawless, and everybody else sucks and gaslights us. So there we go.
Yes. Also, Jerry's wife did write a piece about, like, in response to all the rumors that, like, she killed him.
All the rumors.
Or, like,
she
had something to do with the Bitcoin and all that stuff. So I forgot what it's called, but it's, like, pretty easily.
I thought you said I mixed up because I was like, Jimmy's wife? What?
No, Jerry's wife. Had a wife. That was his whole thing.
I watched the wrong documentary.
Right.
No, Jerry's wife did. Oh, because she was targeted so much and it was so insane. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People thought, people like went really far into her past and like, again, accused her of killing him. But
the best was like, she changed her name. She was married once before, then got divorced.
Yeah.
They were like, what is this? And they're like, oh, hey. She's like, thanks for bringing up my failed marriage.
I could see him being alive, but if he's not, I think that would be like the most, almost, it would just be like the craziest instance of karma getting you, you know?
I mean, a quote that is big in my friend group is, when you hear hooves, think horses, not zebras sometimes. So if it seems like...
I'm like, did I just wake up from a fever dream?
My Wi-Fi cuts out? you're like, is that the COVID medication? When you hear hooves, think horses, not zebras. Because the first thing you would think is like, oh, is that a bunch of horses? You won't go like, is that a camel? And is that a bit when you're like, no, I'm in like Jersey. Like what? Okay. Yeah. So it's like,
so kind of like
sometimes
Occam's
the most, the thing you're thinking. Yes. So it's like, sometimes it's just the obvious answer.
I could see boom. That. I mean, it really could have.
That's good dating advice. That's good crypto advice. That's just sometimes a good thing to think.
You know, it's also good crypto advice.
I say that as I only spiral about things. So take that. Yeah. It doesn't help me, but.
I feel like also good crypto advice is like diversify, because I felt bad for the guy in the documentary
who
lost all
his money twice.
twice, but I was like, bro, you put $400,000 into, like, you put your whole life into Bitcoin.
Yeah, the only time I didn't feel bad for him is when I saw what his apartment looked like and it was cute. And then he was like, I had 400 grand. I was like, what? But I did feel so bad for, that was so sad.
No, I know. I felt bad for him, but even he kind of admits, he was like, I was kind of doing these get rich quick schemes, and like, I do.
He admitted
so
that he was greedy, and
backfired.
I was like, no, I know. And that's a man who went to therapy, because he's like, I can admit I was greedy. I was like, God,
aww, I know.
What's your handle?
What's your hand? Right.
But yeah, let us know what you guys think about the doc, and like, we can have a little like thread theories and everything like that going on in Not Another True Crime group.
Yes.
Also send any DMs and everything like that to Not Another True Crime. Also for more episode suggestions, because we love the documentaries and we love like the news updates. So that's kind of like where our head is at. Let us know if that is where y'all's head is at. And like Sarah said, we have the live show June 5th in Brooklyn. It's gonna be a fun time. I'm so excited. So I hope to see so many of you there.
Yes, and again, if you want tickets, it's betches.co/NATC live. So buy tickets. Yay! Just come out. We'll hang out. It's gonna be really fun. Yay!
It's gonna be so much fun. And me and Sarah are gonna be probably promoting it way too much on our Instagram. Facts. So you can follow us for that and more things. I am at Kasra Danny, Kasra with a K.
I'm Sarah Lamim, and thanks again for listening to this slightly chaotic episode. And we will be back next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.